Lord, to give him knowledge, wisdom, Lord, that his ministry would bear fruit, and that, Lord, there would be souls that would come to know you because of the ministry that he's part of. Then, Lord, I want to lift up all our missionaries in this Giving Tuesday, that, Lord, we can bless them this year, that, Father, it will help them, and again, Lord, the result will be the winning of souls. Now, Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would come and enlighten us, Lord, as we read your word this morning, and Lord, as we focus on the characters of Christmas, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so you can keep bringing gifts till Wednesday. Wednesday night, I just want to let everybody know, the cookies and the pizza and the hot chocolate and the coffee will be good because Pastor Steve and I are the cupbearers, and we will check those cookies to make sure that they are okay. And we will be certain that everything is safe to eat, so come and enjoy, okay? The other thing you need to know is Dennis brings a bunch of gifts with him besides what's out here, and it's a huge help for us to wrap them and to get them labeled, so please be aware of that, okay? We are in the first chapter of Matthew, all right? The first chapter of Matthew. I am going to read the first 17 verses. Is where I'm going to start. Turn to somebody and say, he's going to read what we always skip over. Go ahead. I want to challenge you as I read this, because all of these are characters in the Christmas story. And I want to challenge you to try to see how many of them you recognize and what you know about them. It says, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, Abijah, the father of Asa, Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile of Babylon. One third to go. After the exile of Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abihud, Abihud the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok, the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Elihud. Elihud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Matan. Matan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Thus, there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. Now, if you're following in your outline, your first point, Matthew records the characters in Jesus' human lineage. They are all characters in the Christmas story. I want to call your attention to Matthew. Do you ever stop and thank God for putting it on Matthew's heart to write this down and to record this for us? He's a huge figure in the Christmas story because he fills in details that we're going to read in just a few moments about the birth of Jesus. And sometimes we read these texts and we just gloss over the fact of who wrote them and why did he write them, and we should thank God for them. Look at your second point. How many characters do you recognize in the first 17 verses in Matthew? Is that a good question? I recognize the first two-thirds, a lot of them. And then the last third, because there's so little that we know about that time period. And it was a time of silence in God when he was quiet in Israel. But I also ask you that question to see how much Bible do you read? As I was reading through that, I wonder how many you recognized. You see, if you don't recognize them, there's this book called the Old Testament, this section. Get into it. And I want to spur you on to read and to know. And I challenge myself when I come to those lists and I read them. How many of them do I know? What do I know about them? If the Holy Spirit thought it was important to include it in the Word of God, then we should learn about it. And so that's my challenge to you, all right? Let's read the rest of the text now. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Father, we ask to breathe life into the text, that you would teach us this morning in Jesus' name. Look at your third point. Jesus was born into a traditional family. I say this every year, and I think it's so important. Jesus could have come any way he wanted to come. There's this awesome song, "How Should a King Come?" And it talks about he could have been born into a palace. He could have done this. He could have done that. He could have come any way he wanted to come. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And he was sent into a family with a mother and a father. When it comes to what's going on in our world today and what is being taught, we need to go back to the Bible and look at this, all right? He was born into a traditional family. Look at your next point. Jesus was in danger of growing up in a single parent home. At this time, I want to tell you another character in the Christmas story. It's the devil. When we read the text, it says Joseph, because he thought Mary had been unfaithful, because he was thinking in carnal terms and in the flesh, and so he figured that she had cheated on him, and he had already had a contract with her, and he had paid the bride price, and so in order for him to separate from Mary, there had to be an official divorce. And Jesus was in danger of growing up in a single family home, or a single parent home. Now, if you're in here today and you're a single parent, I want to take my hat off to you. I want to pray for you. But I also want to hold to God's word and God's perfect plan, which is if God's will would come true, there would be a mom and a dad raising up children. I don't want to come with condemnation. I don't want to make anyone feel bad today. But I'm here to tell you, I am in so many conversations with single moms lately, telling them, your son or your daughter are normal teenagers. And then you know what I have to tell the teenagers? I have to say, there's this commandment that says, honor your mother and your father. And if I were your father and you spoke disrespectful to my wife, you would be in a heap of trouble. It gets real quiet in the room when you're saying those things. And I want to say to young men in here today, do a good job raising up your children. You're important. Joseph, he understood this. All right? He understood it. And this goes on every day in the world where men and women are making a decision. Am I going to do the right thing? Am I going to be responsible? Joseph was responsible. All right? Look at your next point. God used an angel in a dream to convince Joseph to take Mary as his wife. Look at all the characters in this one point. All right? He used an angel. He's not named in this part of the text. It was probably Gabriel. He's named when he comes to Mary and when he speaks to Zechariah. But the fact is, God used an angel in a dream to convince Joseph and Mary, two more characters, that Joseph should take Mary as his wife, all right? If you have dreams, don't just discard them, people. Especially if you're a Christian, you have to discern. My first question is, Lord, is it that pizza I had last night? Was it the Christmas cookies, you see? But a lot of times, God will speak to us, says it in His Word. And you need to discern, and then you need to go to a multitude of counselors if you have to. All right? I'm going to read from the Moody Bible Commentary. Joseph is the forgotten hero of Christmas. You know, suddenly you're going to see Joseph disappears. It's because God the Father had to get all the credit. But I'm here to tell you, Joseph is an awesome hero and an awesome character in the story. At the end of the text, it tells us that the marriage wasn't consummated until after Mary had the baby. Let me ask you a question. In the world we live in today, how many guys would go for that? And in the body of Christ and in the church, we need to look at this. Joseph lived a holy, righteous life. It's very important. Your next point as we walk through, the Holy Spirit was the key character in Jesus' conception. You see, in the dream, the angel said, Joseph, don't be afraid. What's conceived in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I think the Holy Spirit is the forgotten part of the Trinity. You walk into some churches and just say the word Holy Spirit and everybody gets uptight. And I'm here to tell you, I can't live without Him. He guides me. He leads me. The Scripture says those who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary. He was there during creation. He was there at conception. And the Holy Spirit is an awesome character in the Christmas story, and I pray that you can't forget it. In the future, as we lead up to Christmas and we read the text that have to do with Jesus and these characters, the Holy Spirit moves on people and they speak. I pray that before you speak, you would let the Holy Spirit move on you. It'll change what comes out of my mouth. It'll change what comes out of your mouth. Change what's in your heart. I also want to tell you that this morning worship was awesome. And I want to compliment you, body of Christ. Because when the music slowed down, all I heard was your voices. And if you think God doesn't love that, He loves that. We were all making joyful noises. Keep it up. Your next point. Matthew reminds readers that Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy. He, He quotes Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, all right, when he says, all this took place, verse 22, what the Lord said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. He quotes Isaiah. Isaiah is a character in the Christmas story. If you want to do some homework, go home and check out. You can just go online and type in there how many prophecies were fulfilled with Jesus' birth, and you will have plenty to read for a while. Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy. And Isaiah is a character in the Christmas story, as are so many of the other prophets. Did you know that Moses prophesied and said that there would be a prophet in Israel? He was speaking about Jesus when Jesus was going to come. Think about the prophets, their characters in the Christmas story. They long to know what you and I know about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, all right? Now, if you remember one thing this morning, remember this next point. God wants to be with us. Turn to somebody and say, you're a character in the Christmas story. We got some real characters in the Christmas story, don't we? But God wants to be with us. You will call His name what? Emmanuel. Why? Because God wants to be with you. I wonder if we have any Eeyores in here. You know, Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. You know, I don't know why they'd want to hang around with me. You know, all his friends are following him. I don't know who'd want to be with me. God wants to be with you. He came to earth for this reason. Why did he come? What did he want? He wants to be with us eternally. It's why we've been created. It's why He gives us breath. Another thing you can do this week, go online and look up Paul Harvey, The Birds. All right? I've told this so many times, I'm telling it again, an abbreviated Reader's Digest version. Are you ready? The professor, he wouldn't go to church on Christmas Eve. He said to his wife and children, I feel like a hypocrite. I don't understand why God would come and take on human flesh. And so he said, I don't want to feel the hypocrisy and go to church with you. I'll wait for you at home. I'll wait up for you. And while they were gone to church, a snowstorm blew up and he heard thumps on his window and he thought there's kids out there throwing snowballs or something. And he went and what he saw were birds flying into the window trying to get into shelter. And the wind was blowing and the snow was falling and the professor had compassion on the birds. So he said, this is what I'll do. I'll open up the shed where we used to keep the pony and I'll turn the light on and the birds can go in there for shelter. And he turned the light on and they wouldn't go in. And then he went in the house and he got breadcrumbs and he sprinkled bread and he said, they'll surely follow it in. And they wouldn't follow it in. And he said, I'll catch them or I'll drive them in. You ever try catching a bird or driving them? And he could not get them to go into shelter. And he felt so bad because he thought they're going to get covered with snow. They could freeze. They could be dead tomorrow morning. And he sat down and he thought to himself, he said, the only way I can get them into safety, he said, is if I could make myself look like one of them. And I love Paul Harvey. He says, just then the church bells rang. And he knelt down in the snow because he had understanding. Church, Jesus is the main character in the Christmas story, and he wants to be with us, and he wanted to make it possible for us to be with him for eternity. Your next point, Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Do you see that? It's the Hebrew word, Yeshua. Salvation is here. Savior. And he came to save you from your sins. And he came to save me from my sin. I'm going to read some notes from Spurgeon, lots of them this morning. The first link between my soul and Christ is not my goodness, but my badness. Not my merit, but my misery. Not my standing, but my falling. Not my riches, but my need. Do you realize you have a need for a Savior, church? He came to save us from our sins. When you're shopping, when you're frustrated, remember what Christmas is about. Jesus came to save us from our sin. Look at your next point. Jesus is the kinsman redeemer that came to redeem the earth and whosoever. Turn to somebody and say, are you a whosoever? He came to save you. And it's a connection to Ruth, you see. We've been studying the book of Ruth, the kinsman redeemer. And what did Boaz do? He redeemed the land that had belonged to Elimelech. And he bought the land back. Guess what? In the garden, the devil took authority from Adam. And he took over. And he's in the earth. He's the spirit out in the air. And Jesus came to take it back. And he came back to redeem the earth and the people in the earth. Whosoever. Again, in a Moody commentary, it says that we should read Isaiah 7:1 all the way through 9:7 and should be read as a unit. And indicates that the promised Emmanuel will possess the land, defeat all enemies, and appear in Galilee as a light to the Gentiles, and will be seen as divine, ruling forever on David's throne. Matthew saw these themes directly fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. He's the kinsman redeemer, church. And when we're celebrating, do you realize what Christmas is all about? I couldn't believe it. Friday morning, my wife said, I'm going shopping. I said, have a wonderful day. But when she came home, she said that a young man in a store said, you can't believe how mean people have been in the past 24 hours. And how they yell at you. And my wife said to him, you know, do you know what Christmas is about? And he said, Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. I'm a Christian. And she said, well, then keep your mind on the birth of Jesus. When she left, she said that he said, I can't believe God sent you here to remind me of that today. And I thought to myself, of course he did. Who else would go shopping on Friday? See, church, the main character in the Christmas story is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want you to remember your Savior, Jesus, all right? Here's your last point. We all need a Savior. Do you know what we need the Savior for? Do you know what He does? I'm glad you're asking because I'm going to read it to you. These are more of Spurgeon's notes, okay? And when you're finished and you go, gosh, I wish I knew what he said and I could remember it all, as you exit the doors, they're out here by the tithe slots. We printed this out. Pastor Steve got it printed for me so you can take it home and you can look at it and you can remember it. Put it up on your refrigerator. And remember it. Salvation from sin. Matthew 1:21. He shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The two parts of salvation are justification and sanctification. Justification, including pardon and imputation of righteousness. Pardon, free, perfect, instantaneous, irreversible, bringing with it deliverance from the consequences of sin, which are God's just displeasure, the curse of the law, incapacity for heaven. Think about that for a minute. If you're not righteous before God, you can't go to heaven. Liability, yea, certain destination of eternal punishment. Wow. Now, the imputation of righteousness. See, this is justification, causing a man to be regarded as holy, sinless, worthy of commendation and reward. Its accompaniments are God's love, blessing of the law, capacity for heaven, which we should all go, hallelujah, a right and title, yea, certain possession of heaven. Jesus affected as to the first by his death and sufferings, as to the second by his holy obedience to the law. You're justified by your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, sanctification, including deliverance from sin and positive holiness. Victory over our natural depravity. Victory over our habits of sin. Victory over the temptations and backslidings. Working in us all holy affections, holy nature, holy habits. I want to introduce that word holy back into the church. Is it okay? Desire for holiness, progress in divine grace. This is unlike justification in that it is gradual, imperfect, progressional, never consummated, but in heaven. When I get to heaven, I will be totally set apart for God. This he does by showing us his example and commands, by the Spirit, deliverance from the guilt, consequences and effects of sin. Now listen to this last line. I love it. This is the beauteous salvation Jesus gives us. I love that word, beauteous. Church, do you realize that we need a Savior? Why do we celebrate Christmas? You know, I love Hallmark movies, but they miss it. They come right to the point. And all they'd have to say when they go, "Wait, what's Christmas all about?" And then they go, "Oh, it's being happy and family and love and getting together." And I'm going, "Say it! Say the name of Jesus!" And it doesn't happen. What I want to say to you this morning, church, say the name of Jesus. He's the character. He's the main character of Christmas. There's no Christmas without him. Without him, there is no celebration. So, Father, we come to you today, and Lord, if there's one in here that is not righteous before you, Lord, if there's one soul in here that if they're asked, "Are you going to go to heaven when you die?" and they would say, "I don't know, I'm not sure." And Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, who came upon Mary when she conceived, by the power of the Holy Spirit, who convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, Lord, I pray that today those souls would enter into your kingdom, that they would admit, that they would admit that you are the Son of God who came to this earth to die on the cross to pay for our sins. And that, Lord, they would confess to you and ask you to be their Lord and Savior. That they would open their heart to you. And then, Father, they can take that handout home and read that they've been made righteous before a holy God. And they're in the process of sanctification, becoming more and more like you every day. Lord, I ask you to take your word that was shared this morning and let it accomplish in each of us what you've meant it to do, Father God. Lord, I especially lift up our children. Because, Lord, they have to carry this on. And they have to learn the true meaning of Jesus' birthday, Christmas. And so, Father, work in us today by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we leave here today, may all fear of speaking the name of Jesus in our society be gone. And may we speak the name above all names, every opportunity we're given, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you need prayer, we want to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If not, go in peace to be an ambassador for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you.